Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and with me, like always,
Jimmy Seaman.
Jimmy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain.
Finally, we have a week of football to talk about. It's been a very crazy week, to say the least. Before we get started, we're going to do a couple quick shout-outs. First, the 9/11 victims. Hope all their families are doing well, for sure, on this day of remembrance of those tragedies. And then also a quick shout-out to Cavaliers play-by-play announcer Fred McLeod, part of our business in a way as broadcasting people. I mean, Fred McLeod was one of the best. He died suddenly at the age of 67 Monday night. So we want to just give a quick shout out to both 9/11 and Fred McLeod. Fred McLeod, for me personally, is a Cavalier fan. He was by far my favorite announcer. I mean,
And those local announcers tend to have a huge impact with the communities that
and
they
represent.
And he had
a tremendous impact for Cleveland. Yep.
And there was a really good video that went around of his wife taking a video of the final call of the Cavaliers championship win in 2016. And, you know, he broke down tears. Now, I had never seen that before. You probably have. But it just shows you how much of a connection you get when you're part of these. Even though some of these local broadcasters aren't supposed to root for the teams, they do have an investment in them, an investment in the city and everything like that. And it's still something true to this day, especially longtime ones too. I think you see now a lot of shuffling among local stuff. I mean, the Wizards had two guys do it for almost 25 years, and now they've kicked both of them out the door. And a lot of people were angry about that, and that's because of the relationship. You feel like you build a relationship with those people. And especially for you, you don't even have to live in Cleveland anymore to watch it. So, obviously, condolences to him and his family. He was really good. He was really good. Him and Austin Carr made a good pairing.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be watching the Cavs will never be the same. Never be the same without him on the call. Definitely condolences to his wife, Beth, and his three children. Also, great to see all the shout-outs to LeBron, D-Wade, Kevin Love, part of numerous athletes, media members tweeting about it. So, good for them to shout them out. And definitely, thank you, Fred, for the memories. Let's go to the NFL. Antonio Brown, a New England Patriot. I think I can speak for both of us on this. We're going to try to get through this topic real quick because we're a little sick of talking about Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And it's beyond tiring. It's just nauseating. It's not fun. But we understand we have to do it. He's a Patriot. The impact he will have on the New England Patriots is...
remains to be seen, just because of he's being charged in a civil suit with three different sexual assault charges.
And a rape charge.
And we don't know how that's gonna go. Obviously, that has to play itself out, and we should let the details come out of that either way. And so, but there's a chance he could be put on the commissioner's exempt list. I think if he does play, though, I have a feeling that if it's just a year thing that he does have, they have an option for the second year. I actually think it could go well, just because I think someone like Antonio Brown, they just have to contain him for the next 4 or 5 months. I think after that, I think the Patriots will be like, if they come out of this and they win the Super Bowl, they'll just be like, yeah, you can go. We'll let somebody else pay you a lot of money because we're not going to do it. I think that's possible. I don't think Antonio Brown was obviously able to play the last 9 seasons. So it's not like he's incapable of playing football. And I think he knows he's in a position with the Patriots right now where he has not his last chance, but he could have gone elsewhere, probably gotten more money, but he wanted to go to the Patriots. So I actually think it may work out. If he actually does play, I think it may work out better than some people. Now, will there be drama from it? Of course there will be. But I just, It's really to see what the Patriots did on Sunday night and see that they could add Antonio Brown to that mix. The one thing we've forgotten in all of this, Antonio Brown is still really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, even right. All that drama last right. year. I mean, he's put up 6 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons and 5 consecutive 100-catch seasons. I mean, it's just that's even in today's inflated stats, nobody else is doing that. So, yeah, I think it actually will work out well if he does get to play on the field.
If he gets his act together, it's going to be great for New England. It really will. That's the big if, though, yeah. If he gets his act together.
And then you combine that. I mean, Josh Gordon only had 4 catches the other night, but he looked really good. Obviously, he's always a wild card, too. But it seems like he's probably in the best place he's been in a while. And I hope so for him. But, you know, he's also an addict. So that stuff doesn't just go away.
It's an everyday battle.
Yeah, and so they're relying on 2 guys who can be wild cards, but we've also seen, you know, the Patriots lose guys and still go on and win the Super Bowl. But I've seen a lot of people say, oh, he won't last 4 or 5 weeks. I think he will. I think they also apparently knew of these civil suit before they signed him. The Raiders knew it was coming, too. So maybe that speaks to how serious the people in the NFL think this is, which could
land him on the exempt list.
Yeah. But apparently both teams knew about it, and they decided to go with it anyways. So that's an interesting tidbit right there. But I think it'll work. I think if he actually gets on the field, I think it'll work out well. I think he's almost a perfect receiver for the Patriots. You know, he's a great route runner. He's as much as we give him crap, he is a perfectionist kind of on the field, and I think the Patriots will like that.
I agree. We'll see how it goes, for sure. It will be interesting, but if he gets his act together, it will work. Problem is, I don't think he will, and I don't think it will work. But I do hope it works for his sake. I really do.
Especially because...
Sick of talking about it, and we just want just to be a good human being.
Especially because he's a really, really, really good player. And he's a guy who's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame. And you want someone like that to continue to add to their resume. I mean,
I doubt he goes to the Hall of Fame if he retired today.
I think he would.
I don't think so. I think this stuff, whether you like it, this stuff, it and I'm not saying it should, yeah, but it plays an impact. And, I mean, you've seen it with T.O. before.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, in my personal opinion, I mean... He has put up basically 7 years of Jerry Rice level production.
Mm-hmm.
And even better than Jerry Rice, but you adjust it because, you know, 30 years ago it was a different league. But there's no doubt about it. Antonio Brown, you know, we've seen Julio have a down year, get hurt. AJ Green has got hurt. Like, over these years, Antonio's been like kind of the one consistent guy out of all of this, despite all of the drama. And all this drama really has just come in the last year. I mean, he's always been kind of a knucklehead, but, I mean, you never really heard too much about it.
Yeah. Give credit to Mike Tomlin for that.
I mean, think about
this.
This time last year, nobody was talking about Antonio Brown. They were talking about Le'Veon Bell, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And in fact, in his time there, Le'Veon Bell caused more headaches, getting suspended, getting arrested. You know, none of that ever happened to Antonio Brown. So all of this has been in the last year. We'll see what happens. It'd be a shame if this is kind of the end of it. Obviously, if he's guilty of any of those charges, that's a whole different story. But he is still a 31-year-old receiver who I think is someone who probably aged pretty well, too, based off his game. He's not overly reliant on his athleticism. I personally think he'd be a Hall of Famer, but I get what you mean. The NFL writers are petty. You know, a lot of them
very petty.
They didn't vote for T.O. because he didn't give him an interview one time. Hopefully the new guard that's coming in is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Same thing with like the baseball writers too. Like the old, you know, there's an old guard versus new guard, but we'll see. I hope it works out, because sometimes if it doesn't work out in New England, that's usually a very telltale sign that it's probably not going to work out anywhere else. We saw that with guys like Haynesworth and Ocho Cinco and a couple other guys. So
I agree. We'll see. I like those points. I personally don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I agree with the points you made about the NFL writers.
I take for Hall of Fame, I take peak over longevity usually.
Okay.
Like, Hines Ward is someone who's about to come for the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Hines Ward has 15 pretty good years. But he was just consistent. I don't know if Hines Ward was ever one of the best five receivers in football. I don't know if he was ever one of the – maybe he was one like close to 10. Like, I'd rather take, like, a – maybe this is controversial, like a Gale Sayers career where you were like, oh, my God, Gale Sayers.
Yeah, it might be a little controversial.
Yeah, for 4 or 5 years was the best running back. You know, that kind of thing. A Calvin Johnson, right? Hines Ward has better numbers than Calvin Johnson. You're not telling me that Calvin Johnson – Hines Ward was a better receiver. You know, so I tend to, like, value peak. It is hard to say that at one point in your career you were the best at your position than it is to say that, you know, over the course of 15 years you racked up like 12,000 yards.
Yeah.
And that's just my opinion, but I value peak over longevity. I think that matters more.
All right. Yeah. I would agree with that. I think peak matters more as well. You want to talk about some football now? Like some,
yeah,
actual,
like some real football. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get it into it, man. Sad topics out of the way. Fun topics begin right now. We're going to start with Thursday night. The Maserati totaled, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It totaled. It's no longer in use.
Well, I mean, it's not like the Packers offense looked that much better.
Oh, but man.
But at least they had the excuse of facing one of the best defenses in the league. I think this was a case of both teams not really playing anybody in the preseason. Come out, you got to play. Thursday night games always whack people. You're so used to as an NFL player, you know, you game plan Wednesday, you know, all this kind of stuff. It was just a combination of that. And the first game of the season can be a little bit wacky sometimes. But a lot of the concerns I have about Mitch Trubisky are still there at this point.
Yeah. He didn't help his naysayers.
You saw Matt Nagy getting visually frustrated with him.
Of course.
He still, to me, when he knows where he needs to go, he had a couple of throws to Allen Robinson. There was a back shoulder. There was a back shoulder fade that was actually incomplete to one of them. But when he knows where he wants to go, I think he can throw it. My problem with him has always been when he's trying to get to his second and third reads that – and part of that is just I still think this thing. You're talking about a guy who played, you know, 11, 12 games in college, you know, started 1 year in high school. This guy hasn't had that many reps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's hard to just completely start reading a field. And last year, I think they tried to make everything so simple for him. You know, they made it more of a 1-2 read offense. But eventually, you know, NFL teams are smart enough, they catch up to that. So I still worry about him just because I do think he has at least decent amount of weapons where you can't say that, you know, he has nothing around him. They invested a lot last offseason to put guys around him. I thought the use of Tariq Cohen was interesting. They lined him at receiver 45 times. I'm not
very
a huge fan of that. I still think he's a guy who out of the backfield is good, and he's still someone you want to give the ball to.
He's like Chris Thompson times two in a way.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's I didn't really agree with how they used him as much. There's one thing where you give him like a Reggie Bush role where he lines up like 5 or 10 times at receiver during, mm-hmm. you know. And then for the Packers, I mean, I think you're definitely impressed by their defense, and you're impressed you got the win, but I don't know how much confidence, if you're a Packers fan, like Blaine, I don't know how much he can take moving forward from this.
Especially, I don't think you can take
especially
much.
If you see what the Vikings did this week.
Yeah, we'll get into Minnesota later.
I would be a little bit concerned if I was a Bears fan, and I'd still be a little bit concerned if I was a Packers fan, but hey, you know what? A win is a win, and
you'll take it.
And you know Aaron Rodgers is going to be better than he was last week.
Yes, definitely. So the Packers, they are now 7-1 in week one matchups versus the Bears since 1980. So they've had their number. What I really took away from this, I mean, yes, Maserati Mitch was awful. I'm not going to sit here and obviously I'm a Mitchell Trubisky fan. He did not play well at all. It was a rough, rough night. But what I took away from it really was the creativity on Mike Pettine's defense, the different looks that he threw at Mitch Trubisky. And I think you saw this in the game, a completely underrated addition, Adrian Amos.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely balled out for Green Bay. He's one of the better safeties in the National Football League.
And then the Bears let him go.
Yeah.
I mean,
how do you think? He probably had the time of his life Thursday. I mean, picking off the Trubisky to pretty much seal the game up.
Which was a terrible throw.
It was. Awful throw.
I mean, the Packers have added guys over the year. Jair Alexander, one of their corners who they drafted last year. Second-year guys tend to take a leap. Justin Jackson, the other guy who they had at corner. Old Tremont Williams, who I couldn't believe was still in the league, actually. and they add Preston Smith. And they make these additions to their defense, and I think it's going to matter because this is one of the worst defenses in the league last year, and if they can just be competent, if they can be top 20, they're probably going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And obviously if they perform like on Thursday, they will, but I don't know if you can expect that the rest of the year, but that's the one thing you should be inspired by as Packers fans for probably since Aaron Rodgers has been there, haven't really seen a good defense for the most part. And now you maybe have the chance to have
my
one.
Guy, Mike Pettine, man.
And that's also just like, oh wow, investing in free agency maybe sometimes works out, you know. So
definitely, definitely. All right, we are moving on to Sunday. The Redskins and the Eagles. We will get into that one next. The Redskins up 17-0 in Philly, and in typical Redskin fashion, they can't close it out. DeSean Jackson with a phenomenal day. He now has 31 career touchdowns, by the way, of 50-plus yards, which is the second most in NFL history.
Yeah, which is
a pretty interesting nugget right there.
No, it shows you how long he's been doing what he's doing and how good he is at it. And the guy is still fast.
Yeah.
And that's the underrated thing about him is he's never going to have an 100-catch year. But, I mean, he really does take the top off of the defense. And they were playing cover one on both of those plays, and he lined up in the slot and just ran past this guy and was able to get a touchdown. I mean, it just shows you how valuable having a deep threat is. As for the Redskins,
he's completely stretched the field. I mean, the difference he made in the Eagles' offense was paramount.
And
they've never really had someone like DeSean Jackson in their offense for Carson Wentz.
Okay, I was going to say, well, they did have DeSean Jackson.
Right, but think about Carson Wentz.
It's funny how LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson have outlasted Chip Kelly now in the NFL after he basically just pushed them both out of town.
Yeah.
And they're still productive. But I was never actually concerned with the Eagles in this game, even when they were down 17-0.
You really thought they'd come back?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I look, credit to Case Keenum. Credit to Case Keenum. Credit to the offensive line in the first half of the Redskins, which I thought was going to be putrid. They ended up not being great, but you know they held up. And their receiving core, their young receiving core, looked good. I always thought the Redskins were going to have a pretty good defense this year, so they obviously
Josh Norman got lit up.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Which is going to happen, in all honesty. I mean, but it just it seemed like the Redskins were playing way too over their heads, and the Eagles weren't. They were playing way under. And as soon as they were able to get that first DeSean Jackson touchdown, I was like, okay. But, you know, it's one of those, again, it's a wacky week one game. It's a divisional game. If you're the Eagles, you got to feel good because you escaped. I still think this is one of the best teams in the league. I'm a little bit worried about their cornerback play.
Uh-huh.
It seems like they have a lot of dudes, but not like one guy.
Yeah.
You know?
So who are their starting? So Jalen Mills was one side?
Jalen Mills is out. He's on the PUP list.
Okay. So who's?
It's Rasul Douglas, Avante Maddox, and Ronald Darby.
Ronald Darby, that's who I was thinking of. Okay.
I think they're a candidate to maybe trade for someone.
Rasul
Douglas. I'd heard that they inquired about Minka Fitzpatrick, but they thought the price was way too high.
We will get into the Dolphins bleep show.
But
later.
I think there's Howie Roseman has always proven to be really aggressive.
Yeah.
Traded a third round pick for Golden Tate last year, and they were smart because then they just got a third round comp pick for him leaving. He traded for JJ. He traded for a couple of guys at the deadline before. I think they'll be a candidate to do that.
I think so too.
Because their defensive line is really good, although Malik Jackson out for the year now, which is a really big blow to
him.
Yeah,
Liz Frank injury.
He had the second highest pressure rate in week one. Right behind Dante Fowler, and third was Yannick Ngakoue. So three former Jaguars at the top of the list, which makes me cry a little bit. But, yeah, that's a loss for them. But they have a really deep defensive line. They can just throw Timmy Jernigan in there, who's still pretty good as well. So I'm not too worried about the Eagles. I you know, the Redskins, you know, I think they're probably like a 4-win team this year.
Agree. Jay Gruden will be out.
I think Case Keenum will probably, this will probably be his best game. Although Case Keenum has games like this.
Case Keenum's a solid quarterback.
No.
The
problem is he needs everything around him to be really good. And right now his offensive line and his receivers aren't
way
that.
Below average.
Darius Geis unfortunately hurt again.
Yeah.
That's really sad. I really liked him in college. I thought he was going to be really good. They also deactivated Adrian Peterson week one. He wasn't.
Which made the locker room very angry.
And now he has to play again. Yeah. I mean, hey, Adrian Peterson, man, if he keeps getting these chances, he's going to be like second on the all-time rushing list at the end of his career. Because he put up 1,000 yards last year. And with how bad this team is, he probably could do it again.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, they got all the running backs in the world, really.
Yeah.
Just to pick from. They got that guy from Georgia as well. Marshall, I think. Kendall Marshall.
Yeah.
And then Thompson and AP, obviously. So, we'll see. We agree on the Redskins. Dwayne Haskins will likely be in there soon. Moving on to the Bills and the Jets.
Hmm.
The 16-point comeback by the Buffalo Bills is their largest since 2011. The Jets up 16-0.
They choked it away.
And they absolutely choked it away.
This, I'd be worried if I was a Jets fan.
Why?
You brought in Adam Gase to fix your offense, and the offense fell flat on its face. Basically, their two touchdowns came from a pick six and a fumble recovery, which set them up at, like, I believe inside the 25-yard line.
Yeah.
They weren't able to move the ball at all. And it was Jamison Crowder had 14 catches, but it was all just like, oh my gosh, it's 3rd and 10. Let me throw 2 yards to Jamison Crowder. And then he picks up another 3 and we got to punt it. I mean, they had every chance to win this game. The Bills were just like, here you go. Let's give you 4 turnovers and set you up with a great field position. They were like, nah, we don't want to do this. I mean, I'd be a little bit concerned. I think for the Bills, I mean, good for them for sticking around. But I don't think most teams are going to give them that chance. Josh Allen was putrid in the first half. I mean,
and he showed who he really is in the second half. We will always disagree about Josh Allen. I like Josh Allen. I think he's a solid quarterback. My friend Jimmy over here thinks otherwise.
You're not going to have a half like he had against most teams and come back and win. But then again, I'm telling you, I'm more concerned about the Jets than I am about the Bills. The Bills, at least I know for sure, are going to have a really good defense.
Yeah.
They had the second best defense in the league last year, and nobody noticed because their offense was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You hope that the additions of John Brown and Cole Beasley and two additions on their offensive line will help. But, yeah, I'm concerned about the Jets. And, you know, I've never been a huge Darnold guy, but I always thought he was good.
Sure about that. Sure, totally. I love Sam Darnold. I'm just messing with you, Jimmy.
Yeah, I was going to say, all I said was that I'd rather have Baker Mayfield.
I love Sam Darnold.
I will say it was interesting that all 5 of the quarterbacks picked in the first round and 18 played, and really all but Lamar Jackson basically struggled in week one. So Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and Josh Allen. So all the guys from the 2018 class at least played somewhat on Sunday. Now, what we can take away from that, we don't know necessarily, but it was interesting to see all of them kind of had their struggles except for the one guy who apparently can't throw the ball.
We will get into Lamar Jackson very soon. That would have been a perfect transition. Before we get into Lamar Jackson, we'll get into the other quarterback I despise who actually had a pretty good day. His name is Kirk Cousins. The Minnesota Vikings.
Well, I threw the ball 10 times, but
yeah. They win 28-12. Dalvin Cook, 2 rushing touchdowns, tying a career high. Like you said, I mean, the Vikings looked amazing. Is it more the Vikings looked amazing? Or what the heck
were
the Falcons
doing?
I
thought their defense looked really, really good. Their defense looked a lot more like 2017 than it did like 2018. In 2017, they had the number one ranked defense in the league. And so I thought that was going to be the big difference with their year this year. Obviously, that proved to be the case week one. And the question is whether they can keep it up or not. This was also the most Mike Zimmer game ever. I mean, Kirk Cousins threw the ball 10 times, and last year he fired John DeFilippo for not running the ball enough. And I think he went to his offensive coordinator's office and said, if you've Kirk Cousins throws the ball more than 10 times in this game, I'm firing you. And so so they just handed the ball off and it's a lot to Dalvin Cook. And this is a game where they are able to do that because they got a really quick lead. They were up 14-0 just like that. And I really think the one thing you can take away is I think Dalvin Cook is going to be really, really special, being 2 years removed from his injury at this point. And now I think he's really going to be a breakout guy. I think he'll probably be a top five back by the end of the year.
Interesting. Top five in all of football.
Yes.
Finally, that would be good for Dalvin Cook if that was the case. What were the Falcons doing, though? I mean, they and we both had very high expectations. You picked them to win the NFC South.
Yes.
I picked them to be a – did I pick them to be a wild card team? I had them second in the NFC. I didn't pick them to make the playoffs. I had them second in the NFC South. What happened to the Falcons, man?
Well, unfortunately, both of their – so one of their rookie offensive linemen – is pretty much out for the year. Chris Lindstrom.
Yep.
The other one struggled basically all day long. And so their offensive line was an issue again. Matt Ryan was being pressured at an extremely high rate, which was their big problem last year. Their defense didn't play that bad, I thought, but they just couldn't get off the field at good times. It seemed like the Vikings were converting every important third down that they had to get, which kept them off the field. And basically, if you go look at like their possession log, I mean, it was just punt, interception, punt, fumble, punt, punt, punt. They basically didn't score their two touchdowns till the end of the game, when it really didn't matter anymore. And so, you obviously got to be concerned, but I'm never going to be too concerned about the offense. They seem to put up points a lot. I just think they really ran into a stone wall against the Vikings. I think the Vikings are going to get back to having a top five defense last year. That was the big thing, is they were like a middle of the pack defense, and that's why they didn't make the playoffs.
You hit the nail on the coffin with that one.
I definitely did. I just thought they were just going to be better this year. They had a lot of guys have down years, like Xavier Rhodes and Harrison
I still
Smith.
Think they missed the playoffs, though.
Which is perfectly reasonable. I mean,
I will never pick a Kirk Cousins.
We talked about this. The NFC is a bloodbath.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally, the definition of what the NFC is a bloodbath.
Because I think we can look in the AFC and say that there's two clear top tier teams.
Yes.
And I think if you look at the NFC, I think you could make a case for a lot of them. And I think a lot of those top teams, who at least the people who I thought would be top teams, all of them won this week. So it's like it's really hard to separate any of them or anything like that. So, but I think it'd be good if you're a Vikings fan. You're not going to win a lot of games with your quarterback throwing the ball 10 times, but you know what? It's week one, you get a win.
And it worked against Atlanta. That quarterback that couldn't throw, I'm sure we're going to disagree on this game right here. So the Baltimore Ravens absolutely obliterated the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, sir.
59 points, the most in Ravens team history. Can we pump the brakes on Lamar Jackson, please? He played Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
Come on. Here's
the thing. You can't tell me you looked at some of those throws and said, man, that's a beautiful
throw. Of course he had some great throws. I'm not going to sit here and say,
oh, I know, but that's the thing is, I'm not saying Lamar Jackson's going to go win MVP, because if he did what he did last week, he would win MVP. But
he's also playing the Miami Dolphins. A lot of quarterbacks are going to do what Lamar Jackson did against the Miami Dolphins.
I guarantee you a lot of them aren't going to put up the exact same numbers that Lamar
Maybe
Jackson
not the
does.
Rushing numbers, but passing numbers, yeah.
But he ran the ball three times.
Let me pull up. I have his stats right here.
I swear he only ran it like three or four times.
Lamar Jackson, he was great. I'm not going to sit here and take anything away from Lamar. Lamar, okay, so he was 17 of 20, 324 and 5. He's not going to be 17 of 20 in another game. And you're right, he did only rush the ball three times for 6 yards.
I think it's one of those things
he's not going to have another 17 for 20 game.
I think the way the Ravens offense plays, he might the one thing that and again, it's against the Dolphins. Again, I'm not saying the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl, because if that were the case, but the one thing you should be confident if you're a Ravens fan taking away from this is that Audu looks like he has a good connection with Hollywood Brown.
Yes.
Which is going to be, which how many teams commit eight guys to the box? He's going to get a lot of one-on-one matchups on the outside. And that's what the Dolphins did early. They had a really long Mark Ingram run. And then after that, the Dolphins were just packing the inside. And it's like, you know, and yeah, you're playing the Dolphins, but the Dolphins don't have the worst secondary in the league. That's the one part of their defense that probably is like the competent part of their defense. It's more so just that, you know, this week was not a good look for the, oh, like, you know, the Ravens should have never benched Joe Flacco for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, so definitely not.
I just think I've always been a believer in Lamar Jackson. And again, you know, we have to see going forward. And then, unfortunately, he has to face the Cardinals this week, which means that no one's going to believe him if he does good again as well, because the Cardinals' defense is pretty bad.
Yes, you're right. You're 100% correct.
It's going to be like week eight. We're like, I don't know. Has he played a good defense yet? Because none of the defenses in the AFC North really have, like, the best passing defenses in the league. Yeah. So it's just... But I will say the one thing you want to take away from the Dolphins side, this is what they asked for. This is what a lot of people in Miami wanted.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And you've seen this.
But
here's the thing is, I don't even think the Browns did tanked as hard.
No. Stop. Hold your horses right there. No.
This team.
We bought a second round pick. For $18 million.
Okay. But
I don't...
I think those Browns teams had better personnel than this Dolphins team does right now.
No. I can't sit here and say that. Absolutely not.
Their offensive line...
The Browns offensive line was the only good part about that team.
I'm saying the Miami Dolphins offensive line...
It's horrible.
Is... It makes the Texans one look really good.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And I mean, this is what they asked for, right? I mean, and they have the guy who has the highest sack total on their team for his career has 4.5 sacks. And look, the Dolphins are the definition of mediocrity. They're averaging 7-9 the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Like literally, if you had taken before this loss, you'd look at the last 20 years, they literally are the, if you just divided by 20, 7-9 is their record every single year. So I get it, and they really wanted to do this, but man, this is really bad for the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got to be, this just has to be sickening, and they have to be, and look, at least the Browns in some of the years, the 0-16, they kept some of those games close. I think the Dolphins are the biggest team in the beginning of the year that you could go
in. Do you think they win a game?
I think they do. They play two contenders at the end of the year. I think they play New England week 17, which is the chance that New England may not be trying that week. And there's another one they play where it could be like, okay, maybe they're not trying. I think they eventually win one because I think it's actually really hard to go 0-16. But I think if you look at after week one, if you were to put a bet on a team going 0-16 in Vegas, I think the Dolphins would probably have like the worst odds out of all of them, being that you wouldn't be able to win a lot of money from it.
Right.
You know, even the Browns years, there was some there. Nobody was thinking after week one, oh, this team is definitely going 0-16.
They look good week one, the Browns, that year we went 0-16. Week one, we kept the Steelers close.
Like, think about it. Have you ever looked at a team after week one and been like, oh my gosh, and based on their personnel moves too, trading away Tunsil, trading away Stills, you know, guys asking, also the guys asking for trades. Who are these guys good enough on the Dolphins to be asking for trades? Maybe Rashad Jones, is that about it? Like, I don't know who these guys are. So it's... I get it. I get why they're doing it. The system is designed for this, and you'll probably get the number one pick, most likely. But it sucks as a fan, and it is definitely bad for the sport.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if people are going to put up 59 points on them every week, but there's going to be video game-like numbers. They're a 20-point underdog to the Patriots this week.
16.
It's moved up to like 19.5, 20.
Really? So I saw they released it Sunday. Sunday they were at 16.
Yeah, because people have been betting the Patriots.
Oh, Let's see. What are the Vegas odds for this one?
It also depends where you get it from. But I saw 19.5.
Okay. I will go on ESPN. ESPN always has. So the Miami Dolphins are underdogs by 19 points. So you're right. They updated it.
I mean, the line has, just because so many people are betting on the Patriots, it's to the point where I'm wondering to myself, how big would the line have to get for me to actually bet money on? Like, if it was like 21 points, would I bet on the Dolphins to cover that? That's a lot of points, man.
By the way, Bill Belichick, by the way, just had this classic quote. So Antonio Brown, they play the Dolphins next.
Mm-hmm.
So there, he just took a question about Antonio Brown's rape allegations, sexual assault allegations. He's like, we're working on Miami.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
The absolute goat. Oh, man.
But yeah, I think I will say this. You know what? The Ravens, they play the Cardinals next week. They start out 2-0. You know what? That's what they got to do.
Yeah, right.
And you know what good teams...
You can't blame that.
And what good teams do, and this is why point differential matters, good teams beat up on really bad teams.
Yeah.
What okay teams do is they let teams like the Dolphins hang around. So, you know, again, you can't take too much from it, but you have to feel good that the Ravens absolutely dominated them. There's going to be teams that do not dominate the Dolphins this season.
Moving on to your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
Sammy Watkins, career high 3 touchdowns. Nick Foles, a broken clavicle. Tyreek Hill with a shoulder issue out 4 to 6 weeks.
He has a hairline fracture on his clavicle.
For Foles?
For Hill.
For Hill, okay.
Yeah, he fractured it. He didn't break it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I said shoulder issue.
I thought it was his clavicle.
Okay.
But
it might be his collarbone. You're right.
Yeah.
It was originally diagnosed as a shoulder. I think they might have changed it to collarbone. Yeah,
but he's not as severe. Basically, he'll be back.
The Chiefs will be fine.
Yeah, they'll be good.
Your Jacksonville Jaguars, on the other hand.
Oof. I know that Minshew looked really good on Sunday.
But.
It's really hard to ask a lot out of a 6th-round rookie quarterback to come in and start right away. Just really any quarterback in general, and then to be on like a productive winning team. Now I will say this: like the Chiefs shredded the Jags defense. Most teams aren't going to do that. They get to play the Texans this next week, and they're going to feast against their offensive line. But It's not a good predicament. And I mean, look, if he can keep them above water, that's all you can ask for. Foles is due to come back week 11 after their bye. So if they can be 4-5 going into that week, they have a chance. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, these next two games against the Texans and the Titans are going to tell a lot more about their season than the Chiefs game. I never thought they were going to beat the Chiefs anyways. And the fact that their offense kept them in the game was a pleasant surprise. But it's going to be hard. I mean, it's going to be hard, and the defense is going to have to play really lights out. I do think the Chiefs game was an anomaly. A lot of blown coverages.
Miles Jack getting ejected.
Yeah, and you know, then they lose their other linebacker, Quincy Williams. So they're playing two backup linebackers. It definitely is a punch in the gut, but you know. I still think with their division, I still think the division's won at like 9-7, 10-6. So they got to stay afloat, but that's just really hard to ask. No matter how much people praise Gardner Minshew, no matter if he has the second highest Wonderlic score of all time for a quarterback. Do you know who has the highest Wonderlic score, Sebastian?
Is it the guy who went to Harvard?
Yes, it is.
Did he go to Harvard?
Yeah.
Did you know Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard?
Yeah. And so it definitely was a gut punch, because even the years the Jaguars were bad, you didn't feel like you gave up hope first week of the season. I'm not saying completely giving up, and them trading for Josh Dobbs is them not completely giving up. But at the end of the day, if you're on your third string quarterback, you're usually screwed anyways. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, Minshew basically has a chance of a lifetime. My best hope is that when Foles comes back, there's some sort of debate on who should start. That's like what I think the best hope is. But I don't think that'll be the case. And then the Chiefs, what you take away from it is, I think the Chiefs proved their defense. I still have a lot of questions about.
Yeah, definitely.
Frank Clark was an absolute zero, basically, in the game. Their defense still is shaky, but I mean, Patrick Mahomes is just unfair at this point. And him combined with Andy Reid, who's an offensive savant. I mean, what he was able to scheme. Guys were running 10. The thing with the Chiefs is always frustrating to watch. Teams like the Chiefs and the Patriots, just constantly, you just see guys 10 yards open.
Yeah.
And you think, and I've watched the Jaguars my entire life. I've never seen that before. And that isn't just like pure talent.
That's I can
just,
say the same for the Cleveland
that's
Browns.
That's just scheme. It's just they scheme people open. They know exactly what to do. So I mean, I'm not a big believer in the Jaguars moving forward. They have a chance, though. If they beat the Titans, they got a chance. And I don't think those teams are unbeatable by any means. But, you know, I like Gardner Minshew, but he has a big task ahead of him. And then for the Chiefs, they just, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I picked them to win the Super Bowl. And there's nothing about what happened. To do this to what's going to probably end up being one of the best defenses in the league.
Scary.
It's very scary. It's really, really impressive.
It definitely is. I agree. I mean, they're the real deal. They're definitely the real deal up in Kansas City. Moving on. So you got your turn to talk about your horrible outing week one. Now it's my turn. I don't think any NFL team had a worse week. I don't think any NFL fan had a worse week than I did. My Browns got absolutely obliterated.
I was going to say maybe the Steelers, but...
No. They played the Patriots at least.
No.
43-13 at home to the Tennessee Titans. My Browns still have not won a week one game since 2004.
Yeah, that's rough.
Here's my thoughts on the Browns. This was a horrible game. It was a close game up till the fourth quarter.
Yeah. They brought it within two.
Yeah. With 2 minutes left in the third. The undiscipline was frightening. It was a little frightening to see. They had 18 penalties. They had two of them declined, so they really had 20 penalties. It was so bad in a way that I feel like it can't happen again. But as a Browns fan, I know anything can happen as a Cleveland Browns fan.
Yep.
So I'm holding out hope. I'm just chalking it up as one game. Now, if we lose to the Jets, who looked awful, and we have these same issues against the Jets, then I'm going to hit the sirens. Pew, pew. Like, it's going to be – it's not going to be pretty. I hate to call a week two game a must win.
No.
But for the Browns –
I think for both of our teams, it's a must win.
Not to mention the LA Rams are coming to town week three.
Well, here's the thing, and I can tell you this, and there's a lot of data behind this. Starting off 1-1 versus starting off 0-2 increases your playoff chances by a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, because every game matters the same. People say, oh, it's the games at the end of the season that matter more. You still got to total up to 10 wins, usually at least. And you got to get those wins against teams like the Jets. And I agree with you. I think the Browns are going to have the biggest overreaction to what happened in media circus.
Oh, yeah.
Week one, because of everything, you know, this whole thing with, like, Odell and the watch, like, who cares? Like, it didn't make him play any, like, less better or anything like that. I think they had, you're not going to get 18 penalties a game for, like, over 180 yards. It doesn't surprise me that it happened, but... You know, trust me, as a guy who roots for another undisciplined team, you're not all going to get that every week. I still believe in this offense at the end of the day. And the Titans, and I can tell you this from personal experience, they either play like world beaters or they play like they've never played the game of football before. And I know there's...
So we call them the world beaters day.
I know that they have a different coach now than they did the two other previous 9-7 seasons. I know they have different personnel, but a lot of that is based on Mariota. Mariota is the biggest tease in the league. He can either look really, really good.
And he was phenomenal.
And so can Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry averages like 3.4...
By the way, Matt still finds a way. I was texting Matt. And he still was dogging Mariota after that performance. I'm like,
of course he is.
I'm like, what this demand
compared to what his draft counterpart Jameis Winston did?
Yeah, right.
Because I was, you can ask.
We will
Matt,
get
you,
into Jameis Winston.
Yeah, you can ask Matt. I was a Mariota over Winston guy, and he thought I was just insane. But No, I think it's just, I don't think you can take that much away from either of the performances.
I agree. I think my Browns.
Although
will be fine.
I will say this, after watching the whole AFC South, even though the Colts I thought looked really good, I still have concerns about their defense in general. I think that the Titans are probably the slight favorite just because the Texans' offensive line is just abysmal. But it's going to be a dogfight in the AFC South, and and when it comes to the Browns, again, I wouldn't overreact too much. Now, again, if it was the Jets, that's different. But I do think this offense is going to consistently put up more points than 13 points. And they had a meltdown at the end of the game. I mean, just the score does not replicate the actual game itself. It was, for the most part, kind of like a defensive struggle. And then it just got out of proportion because Baker Mayfield, threw a couple picks. And credit to the Titans defense, but they were emotionally beaten at that point regardless.
Definitely.
But I'm with you. They got to beat the Jets this past week because we just talked about it. The Jets are, I think, are already a little bit in panic mode. And I think they can do it. The Browns have the talent. And I thought their defense, even though Mariota played really well, I thought they showed up decently well. I think they're going
to
be able
Miles to- Garrett continues to get held on every single play by offensive linemen. Never gets a single holding call. It just drives me absolutely bonkers.
It happens to any team with a good pass.
It just drives me absolutely crazy. But every single play. It is. I mean, Dennis Kelly's like choke holding him. The whole... whatever. I'm not even going to get into that. Rams-Panthers. Rams squeak out a win in Carolina. Malcolm Brown, career high, 2 rushing touchdowns. What do we make of Todd Gurley, man? I think we have to be concerned.
They just talked about how they're going to lower his usage this year. I mean, he still has his chronic knee issue. And he needs to have, in NBA term, load management.
Yeah.
It's just going to be the case if he's going to be effective. And, they want to save. This is a team who has Super Bowl aspirations. We saw how he was last year when he wasn't right in the Super Bowl. I think they want to make sure he's right this year. And I think for the most part, the Rams are confident they can win a lot of games with Malcolm Brown or with Darnell Henderson being guys who get a decent amount of carries, which is probably true. I mean, the Rams are still a really, really, really potent team. I was impressed with Carolina to an extent. McCaffrey. I will say this: Christian McCaffrey. I thought he was going to be really good, but he's far and away surpassed my expectations. Especially how good he's gotten as a runner at this point in his career. He's pretty much one of the most ultimate weapons. And not only is he just now unfair in Madden, he's also unfair on the field as well too. The Panthers. I still think they can be competitive this year. They held in against the Rams pretty well. They outplayed them. They outgained them by 150 yards. Just a couple of things just didn't go their way. I think both teams kind of played how I thought they would, and obviously the Rams are still contenders.
Definitely. I would agree. I think the Rams are going to be just fine. I think Carolina played a little
Their defense needs to play better.
Yes, I think their offense, I don't know if they could sustain what they did, which is a little concerning for me. Moving on, Cincinnati and Seattle. Andy Dalton passes for a career high 418 yards in a loss.
Yeah, the Bengals outplayed the Seahawks almost the entire day.
And they lose.
I mean, you worry about that Seattle secondary, right? I mean, it just doesn't have the guys anymore. Tedrick Thompson, who filled in for Earl Thomas it never made sense to me why they never wanted to pair Earl Thomas. Oh yeah, Earl Thomas had an excellent game Sunday. Who would have thought? Their front seven.
He also played the Dolphins, by the way. I'm just gonna say, every Raven player. I have to say it. Miami's just
okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Tedrick Thompson had 2 long passes, one of them to John Ross, which he should have absolutely intercepted, didn't get it.
Yeah.
It's just different now. The Seattle's front seven is going to be really good. The other thing is, you'll hear me say this all year, this obsession. You have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and Brian Schottenheimer continues to want him to only throw the ball like 15 or 20 times a game.
Isn't Brian Schottenheimer? I remember he is your absolute favorite, Jimmy Steepman.
Him and Greg, if hit.
Him and Greg Williams won the same staff for the Rams 1 year. Under Jeff Fisher as their head coach. That team went 4-12.
I remember Brian Schottenheimer.
That team went 4-12. Jeff Fisher was the head coach. Brian Schottenheimer was the offensive coordinator, and Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator.
Your dream coaching tandem.
It just continues to amaze me. After what happened in the playoffs last year against the Cowboys, you saw what Russell Wilson was able to do when they actually let him throw. It's the one thing that bothers me. I don't know about you. I think Russell Wilson's probably close to a top five quarterback in the NFL.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He is just the epitome of consistency. You know, he finally, I think, has really good targets around him. DK Metcalf looked good. I wasn't a big DK Metcalf believer, but he was good at the things you expect him to be good at. The Bengals, you know, I think everybody, I told you they were the least interesting team in football this year.
Definitely.
That doesn't mean I think they're the worst team. I mean, sometimes we forget Andy Dalton can be pretty good sometimes. And if this John Ross thing is real, if he talked about how he feels more comfortable, he's really dangerous too, because he's probably, outside of Tyreek Hill, the fastest guy in the NFL. So, Seattle was able to escape with a win, but I picked Seattle to win the division, but it doesn't make me feel that much more confident. Yeah,
definitely.
About it.
Austin Eckler, game-winning 7-yard rushing touchdown in overtime. Chargers squeak one out over Indy. Quick thoughts on that one.
Colts should have won the game. Adam Vinatieri missed 2 field goals and an extra point. Brissett looked really impressive.
Yes, Jacoby Brissett was. I think the Colts are going to be fine. I really do. I think they can win 8 to 9 games.
I feel better about
them
now.
You know the
now.
One thing I love about Jacoby Brissett? He never turns the football over. He tends
to hold on to the ball a little bit long, but yeah. It was a battle of 2 NC State. There's a lot of NC State quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah. Isn't that ironic?
Yep.
Definitely. Tampa Bay San Francisco. The 49ers defense, 3 interceptions in the game. They had 2 total last year. Jameis Winston.
They lost by 14 points, and Jameis Winston gave them 14 points.
Now, I picked Tampa Bay to win the NFC South.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed in Jameis Winston. I thought you'd be better. Like, if I could have one redo on my picks, and I'm not the guy who overreacts in week one, but to pick Tampa Bay,
I'll be honest, I don't think San Francisco is that good, which makes me speak more to... It's not even like Jimmy Garoppolo was playing over his head or anything like that. Although they did have 3 touchdowns called back in that game for penalties. I just never believed that Bruce Arians was just going to fix him. Like, he's a QB whisperer. He wasn't going to be like, Jameis, turn the ball over less. That wasn't going to work. So
definitely.
But yeah, I'm not a big believer in the Bucs, and that kind of showed.
Dak Prescott, 4 passing touchdowns, tying a career high. I don't think there's much I can take away from this. They beat up a bad team.
The Cowboys are one of the other teams that I thought were, a contender-type team, and they won week one in the NFC. They beat a team they were supposed to beat. Dak looks really good, and Kellen Moore is going to Jason Garrett at the end of the year and take his job.
So. Ooh, I like the prediction there. The Tank Bowl, Detroit and Arizona, tie game at 27. TJ Hockenson. 131 receiving yards and a touchdown. He looked phenomenal in his debut. But, Detroit, man. They blew an 18-point lead with 6 minutes left. Alex Baker, I was talking to him the other day, absolutely sick to his stomach. He's had enough of Matt Patricia, which I'm sure most Lions fans have.
The rocket scientist,
Yeah. Is there anything to say on this
one?
That
game gave me an aneurysm. it was just the Cardinals' inept offense and then Kyler Murray turns it on. Hey, you know what, Larry Fitz, I'm happy. You know what I'll take from this game? I'm happy for Larry Fitz show.
Yeah, right.
He's still producing.
Oh, man. What a horrible
But the fact
game.
That, just one more thing, Matt Stafford almost lost them the game by throwing that pass.
I saw that. And with 15 seconds left in OT.
And Brock, who has bounced around the league and has always bounced around because he has bricks for hands,
Daryl Bevel, another one of your favorite offensive coordinators.
I don't hate Daryl Bevel. I think he gets way too much crap.
Calling the timeout, which would have wrapped up the game.
Yeah, and then you got Stafford screaming, trust me. And,
Patriots, Steelers, 33-3. Brady, first quarterback with 300 passing yards in a game at 42 years old or older.
It's incredible how young Tom Brady still looks and how incredible old Ben Roethlisberger still looks. But it shows you how their careers have played out. Tom Brady never gets hit. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, to his credit, part of his game, stays in the pocket, gets hit. The Steelers, a little bit concerned about their offense. It's almost like they lost two all-pro guys and try to replace it with Dante Moncrief.
Texans, Saints, I agree with you. The Steelers are really I was concerned about the Steelers. Their offense looks really bad. Saints, Texans, Will Lutz with the game-winning 58-yard field goal, which is a career-long for him. That was the best game of the week. I think we could agree.
Deshaun Watson is amazing. I can't believe people thought otherwise.
Right.
And it's incredible that getting Laramie Tunsil didn't all of a sudden make the Texans' other four crappy offensive linemen better. I know that's was supposed to happen, but it didn't. But a hell of a game. A little bit worried about Drew Brees. You know, definitely started to regress a little bit, but
impressive how he put together a game-winning drive. Houston, by the way, that coverage at the
also just goes to show you that
that's classic Romeo Crennel, by the way.
That a coach is running the show after he cuts a player after one game who still has $9 million guaranteed the rest of the year. They cut Aaron Colvin, who was the guy on that coverage,
right?
So you need a GM because a regular GM doesn't do that after one game. That's a coach getting angry and making the decision. But heck of a game. If the Texans had a real offensive line, I'd put them up there with the Chiefs and the Patriots, but they don't.
Yep. Then they probably won't for a while, as long as Bill O'Brien's general manager. Last one, Raiders Broncos, Josh Jacobs, 113 scrimmage yards, 2 touchdowns in his debut. I'm a big Broncos believer, but my goodness, did they look atrocious. I'm glad the Raiders won, though. I'm not going to say the name, but we all know why.
They had a couple of Gruden grinders. Tyrell Williams looked really good. I'm excited to see what he does with a chance. He always kind of was buried on the depth chart in, I almost said San Diego, Los Angeles.
We all say San Diego.
Josh Jacobs, I want to calm the hype a little bit. He had like 3.4 yards per carry. He had 2 touchdowns, and he had a couple of good runs, but I want to calm it a little bit. I will say the one thing. Trent Brown looked tremendous.
Yes.
Stonewalled Von Miller the entire night. Colton Miller, who really struggled last year, did pretty good against Bradley Chubb. And Derek Carr, I've always said that Derek Carr, I think he's good. I think he's just always been in a bad situation. I still think eventually Oakland will move on from him at the end of the year. But I thought he looked really good.
I agree. I agree 100%.
And the Broncos, I told you from the beginning, I wasn't a big believer in Flacco.
They got to do better. I'm still holding out hope, but I was not encouraged. Rapid fire pick'ems. Let's do this. Maryland and Temple, who do you have?
Maryland. Go Terps.
I would agree with that. I'm taking Maryland. By the way, Jimmy Steepman went 7-3 last week. He now has the pick'em lead after my abysmal week going 5-5. I'm now 10-5 on the year. UCF Stanford.
Stanford.
Stanford. We're going to disagree. I have UCF. Iowa, Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Okay, I got Iowa. Florida, Kentucky.
Florida.
Agree. Clemson, Syracuse.
Clemson.
Agree on that. NFL, Thursday night. I know we're going to disagree on this one. Tampa Bay and Carolina.
Carolina.
You're going with Carolina. You know I'm taking Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Baltimore Ravens, Arizona Cardinals, the local one.
The Ravens, yep.
Ravens by 50 again. Why not? Saints, Rams. What a game that is.
Ooh. The Saints get the revenge.
I agree. I was never going to pick the Rams in that one, just for the obvious reasons. Falcons, Eagles, Sunday Night Football.
Go with the Eagles.
You're going with the Eagles. You're just off the Falcons train.
No, I picked the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl.
All right. I'm going Atlanta, Browns, Jets, Monday night.
the Browns get their win.
All right, I agree. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and with me, like always,
Jimmy Seatman.
And until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.